Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If I've got a portfolio going up at $200,000 a year, on average, you know, obviously you've got to wait and be safe to wait 7 to 10 years for it to double. Then if it's going up faster than if I want to spend, I'm using hypothetical numbers here, if I want to spend $100,000 a year tax-free, I can draw from my line of credit the equity off that.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode on Property Investory, we continue the conversation with Cam McClellan, who will discuss the nuts and bolts of his strategy and why you should be greedy and expect both cash flow and capital growth to impact your portfolio. When McClellan first started investing into property, he was afraid of not making a move and missing out on a great opportunity.
If I had to pinpoint it, and this is actually my business partner's pinpointed this for me and brought it up. He said, if there's the one different thing about you and the majority of Australians out there is, and this is the, I don't want to sound arrogant, but I've got no self-limiting beliefs. So, and when most people will need to analyze things and perhaps get analysis paralysis or they're fearful, I realized that my greatest fear was doing nothing at all. I knew that if I did nothing at all and just got a job and ticked along, that was probably the worst outcome I could come for. So even if I invested and made mistakes, I was still better off than doing nothing. And that gave me, the need to want to learn about it because I didn't want to make mistakes. And I saw most property investors, the way they pick property is pretty much is gambling, to be brutally honest. I don't see any difference between the way most people pick property as an investment and gambling. And the reason for that is, they don't have a way to pick the best investment every time. They'll go off whatever the papers say at that point in time. And sadly, I don't know any journalists that have a good property portfolio and can write credibly on it. I wish there were. And newspapers and all the publications, really, what are they after? They're after selling papers or selling publications, whatever the publication is. So they don't report, not talking about the industry publications, but just in general, journalists want a wow factor. So no one's going to say, look, the market is generally just bubbling along okay. It's either it's going through the roof and no one can ever afford property again, or the sky's falling on our head and the market's going to bust and everyone's going to be destitute and broke. Because they're the only two things that sell paper. So I really wanted a way, rather than relying on information, I wanted a way that I could be comfortable.
To achieve this, he developed a system which would allow him to be comfortable in whatever property purchases he made.
Now, I was really good at creating process for business, but when it came to property, most people spend 40 hours a week working for someone else, making someone else money, but they spend no time at all with a process to select the right property to purchase. So I created a system I call MAP, which is market area property. So I analyze the property markets, finding which ones I want to knock out, then the growth areas that I don't want to invest in, and then finally I find the optimum size and quality property for that area. So basically I can find the best property every day of the week, regardless of the market cycle.
When thinking about the mentors he learned from during his property investing journey, McClellan recalls being taught by a property developer named Steve Wilson.
Steve Wilson's an old guy now, old grey-haired guy that sits on the board of a couple of their companies. He'd probably been developing for about 30 years before I met him, and then I became friends with his son. And Alistair, his son, was buying a property out in Bayswater in the outer suburbs of Melbourne. And I said to Steve, I'm pretty keen to understand property investing. And Steve said, well, there's one two doors up the road. I think I paid $125,000 or $130,000 for the property or something like that at the time. It went up about $40,000 in 3 months, and I ended up chopping off the block in the backyard and putting a unit on the back of it. And Steve taught us how to all the basics about investing in property. What had sparked my interest in property was I watched an old video of Jan Summers where she explained the theory of, you know, buying one property and using the equity to duplicate. So she explained duplication really and compound growth. And that was sort of that light bulb moment for me. And until I saw it myself in my first property, I could comprehend it but didn't see the power of it. I think Jan Summers back then, the big shoulder pads. So this is we're talking in the mid-'80s, early 90s is when I first sort of got a taste of what investing could do. But it wasn't until a little bit later until I started investing myself. And really just, Steve had a circle of friends who were property investors and developers. So I just get dragged along to lunches and, buy them lunches and ply them with beer and just drill them over a 4 or 5 hour session and, pick their brains and go out on site with them and,
He also considers his team to be instrumental in mentoring him towards success in his property investing ventures.
Business mentors I've had, a number of different business mentors, but primarily property. I've got 70 people in my business, which, range from, development managers, corporate accountants, civil engineers, architects. So I'm pretty fortunate that I've got probably some of the most astute property minds in Australia under one roof. And I tell you what, doesn't go a minute goes by where we're not tossing different ideas around and strategies and comparing it back to the core strategy of investment. So it's probably a good house that a good place that just nurtures property enjoyment, property knowledge.
And the best advice he has ever received?
Land appreciates and buildings depreciate.
Although McClelland's portfolio has grown throughout his journey, he has found it to be better not to share the particulars of his success too widely, and for good reason.
I found early days, I bought my first property and I told my parents and a couple of friends, no one really shines on the fact that you're a property investor. I mean, most people go, well done, good on you, you're doing something. Most people will be negative about it. And the reason they're negative about it is two reasons. Either they're scared to do it themselves, and Australians don't like the tall poppy syndrome. But really, most people, if you think of the amount of people in Australia who are successful investors, so I think there's about 15,000 thereabouts, according to the ATO, that have six or more properties. I worked it out, and I think you'd have to pack out the MCG of 100,000 people, and then there'd be around 63 people in the MCG which have six or more properties. So if you were going around talking to people in the MCG, you'd have to talk to every person in the MCG to find the 63. So that means everyone else besides those 63 people are going to be negative about it.
He shares about the type of properties he chooses in order to help provide him financial freedom alongside the strategy he implements to achieve his goals.
So I've got medium density residential property with good land content in the outer ring suburbs. It's primarily what I purchase. Equity growth is the only way you'll build wealth through property. Property wealth, real wealth, comes from doubling your asset value every 7 to 10 years. I don't know anyone, any investor, and prove me wrong, that frustrates me, people, these companies out there that sell based on buy negative gearing property to reduce your taxable income or buy cash flow positive property because that's the way to go. I mean, really, they're just promoting something to sell, to flog people property. I prefer both. I'm greedy, and you should prefer both. You should get growth properties that over a short period of time, 3 to 5 years, become neutral and then cash flow positive. So I've never heard of anyone. So the grandfather of cash flow positive properties, Steve McKnight, wrote a book a decade or so ago. I think it was 0 to 250 properties in 3 years or something. I can't remember the exact title. That was great back then. Steve was an accountant buying $2,000 to $5,000 properties, and he bought a couple of hundred properties, sold his portfolio. And don't quote me, I'm trying to think of a video that he did a few years back where he said, it's not possible in Australia to build a cash flow positive portfolio to supplement your income. And the reason for that is the capital required to do that in today's market is impossible to do that. But really, I've never heard of anyone, even if they do get a small amount more, if you get a couple of hundred dollars extra, as Australians, we spend it. You know what I mean? We're terrible savers. So, getting growth property, which will double in value, is really the only way to achieve wealth and financial freedom through property.
This strategy has enabled him to earn a living without having to go into work. The freedom many property investors aspire to.
Yeah, my wife's happy and I get to go and all the school holidays with the kids and spend time with them while they're young. So, which is really my ultimate goal, was making sure I had enough equity growth to substantiate my any expenditure I wanted. Buying growth properties, for example, if I've got a portfolio going up at $200,000 a year, on average, you know, obviously you've got to wait and be safe to wait 7 to 10 years for it to double. Then if it's going up faster than if I want to spend, I'm using hypothetical numbers here, if I want to spend $100,000 a year tax-free, I can draw from my line of credit the equity off that. If my portfolio is going up at 200 a year and I'm drawing out 100, well, my portfolio is by growing 100 a year, but I don't have to, you know, go to work for a living.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the rent and everything is still covering the cash flow to sustain the portfolio.
Yeah, correct. And that's why I like capital city properties, which go in value because rents obviously follow the growth of property. And once the yield goes up, and I've bought lots of established houses over the years, many, many established houses in the early days. The last decade, I've only purchased new properties because I like that depreciation in the first 3 to 5 years because it really helps with reducing the holding cost of the property until the point, and I put rents up every single time. I'll never, you know, whether it's $5 or $20, you need to customise your tenants to rents going up. They're putting your rent up every time. And around 3 to 5 years, the property is neutral. So it's holding it currently, you know, offsetting itself and holding its own value. And then after that, you're still getting the growth, but you're getting cash flow positive as well. So people should be greedy and they should expect both. So don't buy a property on one or the other.
Coming up after the break, we'll continue talking to McClellan about what he attributes his success to.
So Alistair and myself are business partners. We've been investing since we were kids. We invest together individually, but we don't challenge each other.
What is excited about for the future?
Becoming more and more difficult for a younger generation to get into property. So I wanted a way that people could invest in property without having to, so they can't purchase a property themselves.
And that's next. I'm Tyron Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, podcast listeners, are you enjoying listening to these stories and want more? Then head over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property case studies that I only send exclusively via email. Just one of the many benefits of being part of this community. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, their strategies, and much more. Simply visit propertyinvestory.com to get your free case studies. Now back to the show. Growing as a person alongside another who is on the same page has proved to motivate McClellan and add to his individual success.
It's probably good when Alistair and I, probably having someone to play kick to kick with, I suppose is the best way to put it. So Alistair and myself are business partners. We've been investing since we were kids. We invest together individually. But we don't challenge each other, but we're also, if one of us slows down or, you know, has a bit of time off the other, we just challenge ourselves, I suppose, with new ideas and, you know, there's another deal coming up. Do you want to go into this one or, you know, time to buy another property? And, you know, so I think having someone to go along the ride with is important. It's a lot easier to build wealth next to someone, and you're also going the life journeys. It's good that Alistair's built wealth as well, and we can go on holidays with our families together, and yeah, he can afford the things that I can. So yeah, the friendship remains strong.
He also shares some of the books he has read, which he recommends to listeners.
I love reading business books more than property books. So I just finished reading Elon Musk's book, which is, I think, a cracker book. So, but a lot of the old Branson books. I like my Jack Welch books, you know, Straight from the Gut, things like that. You know, all the Rise and Fall of Alan Bond and the Rise and Rise of Kerry Packer. Yeah, so I read me more business books than I do property. I suppose I've got enough, don't sound arrogant, I've got enough knowledge on property that I don't generally find that I get much out of the property books anymore. So I just more enjoy the business stories.
He prefers these books as a method of motivation.
Oh, I think it's just knowing, yeah, watching people go through different challenges and how they approached it. I read a lot of music autobiographies and that sort of thing as well. So I think, I mean, the business books initially help motivate me. And usually I'll read them if I go on 3 or 4 weeks holiday with my wife, and this is before kids. But You get enough time by the pool, I'd start to go stir crazy and I'd need some business influence. So I'd start reading business books and, you know, next thing I'd be all hyped up and sending emails back to work. But I think I just like staying in touch with business and saying I'm not involved in my business as much day to day, then that keeps me amused. But yeah, once again, I've probably backed off reading a lot about business and property over the last fair number of years now.
In structuring his week according to the task he aims to accomplish, McClellan wanted to organise his business in a way that would enable him to take time away from it. So how did he achieve this?
Probably came back to the point where throughout telco business, the first medium-sized business that I automated, you know, with a general manager and ops manager and all the associated team managers, was really by looking at how I could set the business up if I wanted to take a year off. So I looked at every task that I was doing and automated it. So every process within the business, I think that's why I'm good at property investing, because I'm very process orientated. So within the business, setting up standard operating procedures so that different teams had looped reporting. The reporting was reliant on other teams' information, so that each cog in the team was really reliant on the performance of the next team. And then there was dashboard reporting, which rolled down to individual team performance and individual performance with performance activity calendars. So everyone knows what they're accountable for, can go home satisfied at the end of the day, knowing they've completed what they need to. And really, once that was in place, then I could sit anywhere in Australia and look at my phone and know how the business was going. And really, employing people and paying them a bucket load more than anyone else would pay them, so that they really take ownership of the business and enjoy it and are solid within the business. So I think it hasn't been easy, and it's not not a task that's, foolproof. There's always something going on, but I'm going to be involved in business till I get very, very old. Otherwise, I'll go crazy.
I love what you said about automation and also hiring the best people you can, because obviously it allows you to be able to scale it up a lot more and also take that strategic approach, which you've done very, very successfully.
I expect my team members to, walk over hot coals and follow me into hell if need to. I expect them to work harder than anyone else ever when required, but I want them to enjoy themselves and be satisfied in the role they do, but I'll pay them extremely well to do it.
So if he could meet himself as he was 10 years ago, what would he say to himself?
10 years ago, I'd probably just sold my first major business at that point in time. So I think 10 years ago, my lawyer said the money's in the bank, and I walked across the travel agent, booked the next flight to Fiji for a few weeks with my family at that time. But 10 years ago, I think that was a good learning curve. My first business, which is the telco business, which probably took me a decade, I suppose, as an apprentice, really learning about business. When we really turned up Open Corp as a operating entity, I probably achieved the same in about 18 months or 24 months as far as automating that business and getting it to the same maturity, although the talent within the business was a lot greater. It was a different scope of people we're employing. So I think, I don't know what you'd tell yourself. You shouldn't look back. You should always look forward.
It's interesting, because I think when you look back at what you've achieved and the successes that you've had, it's amazing that you're able to move much faster. As you said, it's taking you 10 years to build a telco, and then it took you only 18 months to build Open Corp.
Yeah, that's a compounding effect of everything, isn't it? It's compounding. Your wealth compounds faster, your knowledge compounds faster, your ability to execute.
Today, McClellan is really excited about creating another pathway for Australians to invest in property if they are not able to purchase property themselves.
Well, we've rolled out a property management division across two different states. We just started mortgage broking, and business-wise I'm talking. Our developments are ticking along well, and we're looking at starting a large-scale residential fund. So there's a lot of commercial property trusts in Australia, and I think I mentioned to you before, I believe it's going to become very difficult for people to get into the property market in Australia with the way prices are going. It's becoming more and more difficult for a younger generation to get into property. So I wanted a way that people could invest in property without having to purchase. They can't purchase a property themselves. So we're in the early throes of rolling out, so we've got an Australian Financial Services Licence, rolling out a fund which holds residential property across the capital cities, which will allow people to invest and trade shares within of property and invest in Australian property and get the growth and rental yields without having to hold a whole property themselves. So, yeah, it's going to be something new for the market. Even if you're thinking that you've got a small amount of money and you want to continue to save for a deposit, well, you could invest in the fund itself and get the same growth that you could owning a whole property. And then if you want to go and buy your own home, you take the money out of it. So we're looking at making sure that the shares are able to be liquid, so they're tradable, and then listed effectively. But we're looking at a number of different, so we'll be holding outer ring medium density property with good growth but good yield, some more very low yield blue chip property, and also doing developments in that. So we're getting development profit in the fund as well. So investors in that overall will get the benefits of all property classes effectively.
And do you think this type of fund will actually outperform, say, for example, the average S&P?
Yeah, because of the development fund, and it's across Australia over the long term, very much so. While there's no past performance to indicate future performance, if I use a required term, you can't promise anyone anything, but the product disclosure statement will give an idea of the investment, and investors can make their own informed decisions. But the idea is that we will be able to outperform, but there's no guarantees.
If you want to connect with McClellan and learn more from him, you can do so through visiting his website at
opencorp.com.au, which is opencorp.com.au, or otherwise shoot us an email. It does take me a long time to get back to people, just because my wife limits my computer and iPhone use.
Make sure to also check out his great book.
I think most bookshops have got it. Off the website, you can buy it. Newslink at the airports has got it. So, my four-year-old, the property investor, Google it. You'll be able to get a copy through any of the major online or, local retailers.
Thank you to Cam McClellan, our guest on this episode of Property Investory. If you want to hear more about his journey, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com. Simply type in the search bar Cam McClellan and select that episode to learn more about his story. Also, if you haven't subscribed to receive your free property case studies that I only send out exclusively via email, you can text me your email address to 0499881040 to subscribe. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply text me your email address to 0499881040 to get your free case studies. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.